Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast from WNYC in New York. That pin point rain, I felt
growing up. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The new film, Song One, begins with this song, played by a young musician busking in the New York City subway. The movie is a love story between that young man's sister and his favorite singer, who meet while he's lying in a coma after being struck by a car. But the movie is also a love letter to music, and to the incredible diversity of the New York music scene in particular. Song One stars Anne Hathaway and the English singer and songwriter Johnny Flynn, and it was written and directed by Kate Barker Froiland. Kate and Johnny are both here with me in the Soundcheck studio. Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you.
So was it fair, Kate, to say that this is a kind of love letter to music, to the music scene? That's how it struck me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the music scene and Brooklyn, you know, is kind of the backdrop of the movie. And, you know, I didn't set out to make a cool or trendy movie. I really wanted to tell a story about music and how universal it is, you know, because I think it really, it is so powerful and can bring people from really different worlds together.
Mm-hmm.
So Brooklyn just happens to be where these characters are and are trying to figure things out.
So now Anne Hathaway stars, but I understand that was not her original, that was not the original intent either, that
right.
She came on as a producer at first, right?
Exactly, yeah. So Jonathan Demme, who's one of the other producers,
mm-hmm.
he sent Anne and her husband Adam the script to see if they would be interested in producing it. He knew they were interested in producing a film, and they're really into music. So they read it, and I met with them, and they really wanted to produce it. And Annie just, you know, happened to connect a lot with Franny and loved the part, and which took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting that at all. And, you know, originally in that version of the script, she was like 24 years old. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I thought about it for a couple of days, and then I was like, actually, she would be perfect for this part. So,
so
then
you
I cast
had
her.
To think about it for a couple of days before deciding that Anne Hathaway would be okay for your movie.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love, she's obviously a wonderful actress.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure it was perfect, and yeah. It was.
Now, Johnny, I mean, obviously, you know, we've heard you on Soundcheck. It's been a number of years, but, you know, we've heard you in your own role as a singer-songwriter. When you
yeah.
got on set, the sort of the challenge for you here is you're playing a singer-songwriter.
Mm.
He even has the same initials, James
yeah.
Forrester. But he's not playing your songs. He's playing
yeah.
songs written by Jenny Lewis and Jonathan Rice.
Yeah.
Jenny was recently on Soundcheck as well. And people will know her from Rilo Kiley and stuff. Is this the first time that you've, like, done a whole project where you're singing someone else's material?
Yeah. I thought it was cool because, you know, I've always tried to keep my acting and my music quite separate because I guess from a need to take both seriously for my own sake. And
mm-hmm.
so Jenny and Johnny were already very much on board with the film before I ever came to it. And so I got these songs as like extensions of the script, really,
mm-hmm.
and clues to who the character was. And there's a song, one of the songs in the movie, Big Black Cadillac, that's the first song that you kind of hear in full. I think it's when he sings it in the hospital. He visits Franny and her brother.
So the character is in the song.
Yeah, very
yeah.
much so. And that's how Jenny and Johnny worked on the songs, I believe. They took all the clues from the script.
So the character's name is James Forrester. Johnny Flynn plays him in the film Song One, written and directed by Kate Barker Froiland. They're both here with me on Soundcheck. Let's hear that song, Big Black Cadillac. It's a really poignant scene early in the film.
Mother, I thought that you you. Mother, I see you Lonely in dreams, you put me in a basket and you push me upstream, but I'm always drifting by where that big black Cadillac took you.
From the film Song One, the new movie by writer and director Kate Barker Froilan, starring Anne Hathaway and Johnny Flynn. That is Johnny in the role of the singer-songwriter James Forrester, singing this song called Big Black Cadillac. And Franny, who is Anne Hathaway's character, is sitting at her brother's bedside. He's in a coma. He's been hit by a car. And it's a really moving scene, and the beginning of this relationship between the two main characters. Now, Kate, Johnny was mentioning that the songs were done by the time he came on board. What brought you to Johnny? What sort of led you to bring him in as in the role of James?
Well, I heard one of Johnny's songs first in, I think it was 2011. I saw this film, a French film called Goodbye First Love. And at the end of the film, there's this song that rolls over the last scene in the credits.
All that I have is a river. The river is always my home. Lord, take me away, for I just cannot stay. I'll sink in my skin and my
And I remember walking out of the theater and just loving this song. And I sort of forgot about it. But then, like, about six months later, we were in the middle of casting James. And I happened to click on a trailer for this film, and that song was in it. And I was like, oh, my God, I have to find out who wrote this song, where, like, what is it? And so I started Googling, and I found out it was The Water that you had written, Johnny. And Laura Marling sings on it too.
The water sustains me without even trying. The water can't drown me, I'm done with my dying.
And then I was like, oh, who's Johnny Flynn? And I started looking you up, and I was like, oh, wow, I think it was on your Wikipedia page I saw that you were performing in Shakespeare and were an actor and also a musician. And that's when I started listening to your music. And so, you know, he would send audition tapes. And then finally Annie, Adam, and I flew to London and watched Johnny perform in Twelfth Night. And then he read for us after.
Yeah.
I was impressed you could do all of that.
And for you, Johnny, were you familiar with Jenny Lewis and Jonathan Rice, with their work before this?
Yeah, I knew. I had an album of Jenny's that she did, Jenny Lewis and the Watson Twins, the Rabbit Fuck, is that what it's called? Quite a while ago.
Yeah, it was a long while ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. And I really loved that. But I guess, like, I realized when I came here that she's pretty well known. You know, all her projects are, like, very much on the sort of indie map, and she,
right.
You know, like, she, I guess in England it's, or Britain it's kind of it's, you know, its own scene, and
sure.
We have our own kind of
your own Jenny Lewis.
Yeah, well, somebody like Laura Marling.
Yeah,
she's, yeah, she might be the person in that role. So I'd heard her name, and I really loved some songs, but I really wasn't aware of, like, her output. And then it was really cool because we made the record that is talked about in Song One. We made the James Forrester record, like, on the weekends when we weren't filming. Jenny and Johnny and myself, and then Kate was there, and getting to, you know, relate to them on a kind of musical level.
Well, you know, I was wondering how closely you worked with them, because one of the amazing things to me, you know, having followed your musical career, was how much these songs, not written by you, sounded like they were.
Right.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
To the even, like, practical things, like, oh, wow, they even have the little guitar goes into a loop so he can pick up the violin and do his violin thing, you know?
Well, things like that, they would write the song and then I'd go, oh, if I change this chord here and if I do this, then we could loop that and it could become this, like, middle eight section. And then, so that was actually, you know, from discussing with them and me coming up with some ideas. So it was a bit of a, like, in the arranging, it was kind of a collaboration there.
Yeah, and the violin we ended up adding to James's character once we found out that you played violin.
Yeah, right.
I liked it when you were trying to figure out build a case that would have my violin and my guitar that he could carry around with him all the time, but it was just going to be huge.
I know. I still want to build one of those cases.
Yeah. It was I mean, my whole life I've been carrying guitars and violins around, and it would be great if I had one hand free. That'd be awesome.
We're speaking with Johnny Flynn and the writer and director Kate Barker Froiland. Her new film is called Song One. It stars Johnny Flynn and Anne Hathaway. The title, Song One, Kate, it comes from the brother's character, played by Ben Rosenfield. He hasn't sent a CD letter to his sister, Franny, who's been working in Morocco. Mm-hmm. And now that he's in a coma, she's sort of like picking up the threads of his life, where he's gone, what he's done. So that is the song that gives the film its title, right?
That's part of it, you know. It's definitely Henry's, it's the first song he's proud of. You know, he's written other things that he's sent to Franny. She hasn't really paid attention. And then, you know, James has writer's block throughout the movie, and he's trying to find his next song one for his next album. Mm. So I think it refers to a lot of things, you know.
Well, this is, in this scene, Franny, played by Anne Hathaway, is finally getting around to listening to this CD letter from her brother.
I know you're busy, and I know you think this is a waste of time. Not sure if you've listened to anything else I've sent, but here's another song I just finished. Probably the first one I'm really proud of. I hope you listen to it.
So I fall asleep before I go dark.
Just a little bit of from the film Song One, the brand new movie written and directed by Kate Barker Froiland and starring Anne Hathaway and Johnny Flynn with Ben Rosenfield. That's Kate, that's Ben singing there
on
this CD that he has sent to Anne Hathaway's character. And once again, Jenny Lewis and Jonathan Rice writing the songs. So we were talking about the title. Song One is, you know, this is the first song he's proud of, but Johnny's character is also blocked and looking for, you know, that kind of inspiration that'll get his next song to come. Then there's, to me, Song One almost sounds like a course title, you know? Song 101.
Right.
And basically, this movie gives us a crash course in an amazing array of artists. Charon Van Etten.
Call me your side, and I will now be, and I will be fine with that. You don't leave me now, you might love me back.
The Felice Brothers. There's a great scene with Dan Deacon in one of the clubs. Was that also part of the the love letter to music in the making of this film?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, from the beginning, when I was writing the script, I wanted to have an array of artists, you know, because the movie is so much about experiencing music and going to hear, to listen to music and what that feels like, you know. So I really, you know, Sharon Van Etten, I was a big fan of hers before she said yes to being in the movie, and I was so happy when she said she would be in it. Dan Deacon, Jonathan Demme actually sent me a music video of his. Crystal Cat is the song, and it's the song that's in the movie. Great video if you haven't seen it. Felice Brothers, I didn't know about. I didn't know their music at all. But
they
Jenny,
do Cumberland Gap in the film.
Exactly, yeah. Jenny Lewis and Jonathan Rice and Eric Dimenstein, who helped a lot with getting these artists together, introduced me to them. So
I was a big fan of theirs.
You were?
Yeah, like huge, yeah.
Oh, so did you know them already prior to this?
Yeah, well, I'd seen them play at South by Southwest like years ago, in like 2008 or something. I was really thrilled that they were there. Anyway.
Yeah, I
was really pleased to see Elizabeth Zeman with her accordion.
And Elizabeth Zeman, yeah.
Who leads the band Elizabeth and the Catapults.
Exactly, yeah. We heard that song, Annie Adam and I heard that song, Thank You for Nothing, a couple years ago. And I asked her if she would play that on the accordion, you know. That moment is actually really important in the movie because it's the first time Franny records in the subway and brings back these sounds for her brother.
Right. Now, so she ends up having a very mediated experience of New York City because she starts recording just the sounds around her, and she's walking around with headphones listening to the birds, the subway, the traffic, people around her through headphones.
Yeah.
Is that saying something about kind of a different kind of music? The John Cage type where everything is music?
Yeah. Well, I do think that while there's a lot of actual music in the film and Johnny's character is going with Annie's character to all of these shows, there is so much sound in New York. Franny starts to really listen in a different way, you know? Mm-hmm. And in a way that she never listened before. And it really, that's the journey of her character. You know, Annie and I talked a lot about how Franny at the beginning of the movie is sort of like this icicle. And we had this image in our minds. And then as the movie goes on, she thaws and she melts, you know. And a lot of that has to do with the sounds that she's hearing and embracing.
There's also a kind of verisimilitude. And Johnny, you must, you know, this must kind of echo with things that you've experienced in your career. Where, you know, she starts finding out about James through things like YouTube, you know?
That was what I found really strange. When I first read the script, I didn't realize they'd been meeting lots of other people. I kind of, in the back of my mind, I was like, they've been, like, following me around and just writing what happens to me, you know?
Using your initials.
Yeah, using my initials. There's a bit where, like, somebody holds up a banner saying, I love you, JF, or something. I was like, that's a bit strange. And, you know, stuff like that. And it's all the same questions I get asked by, you know, journalists and those kind of the blogosphere type stuff. There's one bit where he's even, like, saying the weirdest thing that happened to him. And he's like, I got chased by a moose or something. And one of our first big tours of the States, we were in the Rockies, like, driving around. And we were terrified because we came across this moose. And I thought, you know, I was like, did I tell anyone about that story? And,
so for you, this was ripped from the headlines, the personal headlines.
Well, yeah. I mean, there were a lot of, you know, nice similarities that just meant I could trust what happened to him. And then, you know, like, the writer's block thing, that is a real thing. That's a terrible, debilitating situation to be in, and I've been there, and a lot of my friends, I'm part of a kind of musical community, and a lot of them kind of call me up like, I'm stuck, I don't know what to do, my record label's on my back, and I don't know. So, you know, and that's happening to him when you meet him.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so plausible. I mean, even the way Franny, Anne Hathaway's character, you know, starts Googling James Forrester and finds on YouTube him doing this interview where he performs another of his songs called Iris Instilled. A little bit of Iris Instilled. We're hearing it on YouTube first, and then Kate, for folks who aren't like deep into music in the movies, there's two kinds of movie music. There's diegetic, right, which mm-hmm. is what is actually being the characters are hearing it, even, and then there's the non-diegetic right. stuff, like soundtrack stuff that is put in later. You kind of play with that in yeah. a couple of spots in this movie where music that was diegetic then suddenly becomes the soundtrack to a later
yeah.
scene.
Yeah. One place that we did that was with Nina Simone's song. Franny is listening to James's favorite song, and then it becomes, you know, a narration of the scene afterwards. It sort of comes up and, you know, becomes part of the scene in a different way.
Right.
So I did want to play around with that a lot. You know, there was a lot of opportunity to do that because there was so much music.
And Little Yellow Dress is another one where...
Exactly.
Slipped out under cover of champagne. You tried to kiss me by the dollar sign.
James is singing and playing this song, and then suddenly they're outside, but the song is still going, so it...
Yeah.
You've switched. You
yeah,
know?
And it moves the story along. You know, all of this music, I think, did move the yeah. story.
Your little yellow dress made me go ballistic. Begged you not to change it, and you never did. Oh, I'm so glad.
So Johnny, you know, one of the kind of side effects of having a character who hews so closely to your own story and your own experience as a musician is maybe you're finding this already, that there are people who are confusing James Forrester with Johnny Flynn. I mean, mm-hmm. what happens when people start asking for Big Black Cadillac at Johnny Flynn concerts?
It's an interesting question. I mean, it was the one thing I was wary of.
Well, you said before you like to keep your acting yeah. and your music separate, and this is really kind
this
of blurring that.
It is, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying not to be too precious about it, and I'm not going to stop playing my set, you know, and I don't think I'll be playing songs from the movie in my stage set just because that's like, it's a different thing. So, but it's like an interesting experiment for me to just kind of dive in and see what it's like to tell the story of somebody who's like me but isn't me, essentially.
Right, right. You know. Now, you mentioned working with the songwriters, Jenny Lewis, Jonathan Rice, on an actual album while you were shooting the film. Mm. What's the status of that album?
It's out.
It is out,
It's on iTunes.
It came out last week.
So the music is there, and now the film is out, written and directed by Kate Barker Froiland. It's called Song One, starring Anne Hathaway and Johnny Flynn, and Kate and Johnny have been here with me in the Soundcheck studio today. Fans of music, there is so much to love here. And so, Kate, congratulations. And
thank you
guys
much.
For coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
I waved to you, but you couldn't see. I could hear a crowd of people calling after me.
If you like Soundcheck, consider subscribing to our podcast. It's easy. Just find us in the iTunes store and click on subscribe. We'll send you our latest interviews, in-studio performances, and more.
I've been holding out for a lifeline, and I've followed you to the depths of my own mind. I've been wandering, kind of scattershot, bumping into other people's lives without second thought. Now I do believe in the mystical, that we have some vague connection to the other world. And now what I've said may not all be true, but this silver song I sing tonight, I swear it's just for you.